Okay. So Kylie described the general process for recreational management of our four primary recreational species. And next, I'm going to describe this recreational reform initiative, which is a joint initiative of the Council and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, and it aims to address several challenges that we have with recreational management of these species. And this initiative got started in spring of 2018, and it started at the commission level when the Summer Flounder, Scuff, and Black Sea Bass Board Chair and Vice Chair put forward a proposal for how to address issues specific to black sea bass management. But since that time, it's broadened to all four species. And I think it's important to emphasize that this initiative is still in the planning stages, and there's many topics that could be addressed through this initiative, but the council and the commission have yet to define their highest priorities or formally initiate a management action. We typically do fishery management plan frameworks and amendments, and this is not associated with a concrete management action like that yet. So just kind of keep that context in mind when I walk through this, that this is still largely in the planning stages. But this is the goal and vision statement for the initiative. It's to provide more stability in the recreational management measures, so specifically those bag size and season limits that Kylie talked about, to have more flexibility in how we do our management process, and to have accessibility for anglers be aligned with availability and stock status. So the intent behind this is not to circumvent the requirement that we constrain catch to an annual catch limit. And the intent is not to change the process that we use to come up with our overall catch and landings limits, but rather how can we work within that framework to provide more stability, flexibility, and accessibility to anglers. And this largely came about due to frustration with recreational stakeholders that we had to frequently change the bag size and season measures in the past, either because our harvest limits were fluctuating or the MRIP data was fluctuating, and some stakeholders felt that we were just making these constant tweaks to the measures, and it might not have even been due to a biological conservation need, and it was more about changes in the data. And then also, especially with black sea bass and the other species, also to some extent, there's a perception that we have this super high biomass and super high availability, but we also have some of the most restrictive management measures in the history of joint management of these species. So, definitely. Some in the recreational community felt very frustrated with that and have this perception that the management measures are not aligned with availability in the way that they feel like they should be. So those are kind of like the big picture challenges and goals of this initiative. And you might note that in thinking about this, I know the focus of this meeting is in-season management to a large extent, and with the focus on stability, we're almost kind of trying to do the opposite of in-season management with this. We're trying to keep measures the same to the extent that we can when it's justifiable to provide stability for those fisheries. So there's a number of topics that have been talked about through this initiative so far, and I'll briefly touch on each of them. The intent is not to address everything on this list, because that would just be totally unrealistic, but the Council and the Commission plan to narrow this list down in the near future and prioritize some of these topics. And again, I'm going to walk through each of these. This is going to be a lot of information to cover, so hopefully it's not too much of information overload, but happy to take questions on more of the specifics of any of these. So the first topic that might be part of the recreational reform initiative is relates to can we better incorporate uncertainty in the MRIP data into our management process? And this is kind of an overarching theme that also relates to some many of the other potential topics that I'll touch on. And there's three specific suggestions that have been discussed so far for how to deal with this. And the first is to adopt a standardized process for identifying and smoothing outlier estimates. Kylie talked about how each year we consider, the data through wave four, and think about do next year's management measures need to be different than this year's? And when we go through the data with our monitoring and technical committees, on occasion, they'll look at the data and say, hey, that estimate looks like an outlier. And there's been a few instances where they have used a smoothed estimate. They've used a statistical method to determine that something is in fact an outlier, and then use a smoothed estimate in some parts of the process. But that's only been done in a few very specific instances. We don't have a standardized process for looking at the entire data set. It's kind of been based on like a gut reaction to just looking at the data. So we haven't, again, combed through the entire data set for both high and low outliers. It's really only been something that's been done for black sea bass so far. So the intent behind this first bullet here is to come up with a process that we could use for the entire MRIP data set for all of our species and do it in the standardized way year to year. And that would help us be able to deal with that aspect of uncertainty in the MRIP data in a more comprehensive way throughout more parts of the management process. The second idea here for how to better incorporate MRIP uncertainty into the management process is what we call an envelope of uncertainty approach. And this relates to what Kylie talked about, where we're doing these projections every year of what we think the full year harvest is going to be in this year. And then we assume that if we keep measures unchanged next year, next year's harvest will be the same as this year's harvest. But of course, when we do those projections, we have uncertainty in those projections. So the idea behind this is to, again, come up with a standardized process that we can use to consider what the appropriate range of uncertainty is. And that would be something that would be predetermined based on a statistical methodology. And if next year's harvest limit falls within that range, then you would make an argument that you don't need to change your management measures. And a lot of what I'm talking about, or I'm going to talk about through recreational reform, is things that to some extent we already have the flexibility to do this, and to some extent we are doing it on a case-by-case basis year to year, but there's some desire to have it be more standardized and transparent so that we can do these things in a more appropriate and consistent manner. And then lastly, the council and the commission want to better consider the pros and cons of using preliminary current year data in the process. So for example, do we need to do those projections at all? Is there a different way that we could go about thinking about harvest where we're only relying on the final data? So the next topic that might be included in recreational reform is this idea of coming up with guidelines for when you can keep measures unchanged. And the intent behind this is to, again, take some of those things that we have been doing on a case-by-case basis and lay them out more as if they are standardized guidelines. And the idea is to establish a process where you have a list of metrics related to both the MRIP harvest data and stock status. And you kind of go down the list and say, do you have good indicators on each of these, or, you know, kind of mixed or negative indicators? And that could help you determine if you can leave measures unchanged or if you might need to change them. The next topic, the concept is to come up with recreational management measures and have them be in place for 2 years at a time rather than 1 year at a time. And this is something that's gaining some momentum, and it has the potential to address multiple challenges that we're having in these fisheries if we can make it work within our current requirements. So the process that Kylie described is something that we're doing every single year. So every year we're evaluating trends in harvest and comparing it to next year's recreational harvest limit and thinking about if the measures need to change. And the idea behind this is, instead of doing that every single year, can we basically do it every other year and set measures that apply for 2 years at a time with a commitment to making no changes in the interim year? And this, for this to work, it would have to be that it would apply to the federal waters measures and the state waters measures. So everybody is coming up with their respective management measures, and they apply for 2 years rather than 1 year. And if in that interim year you get data that suggests that you might otherwise be able to liberalize, or you might need a restriction, that you're not reacting to that information. And of course, there's some risk with not taking restrictions that you might otherwise need, but then it's outweighed by not taking those liberalizations that you might otherwise be able to take. And the only information that you would react to make a change would be if you had a negative change in stock status. So if you got information in the interim year that suggests that overfishing was occurring, you would of course react to that. But beyond something like that, it would be a strong commitment to making no changes for 2 years. And one of the reasons why this is particularly appealing is that moving forward, we're expecting to get management track assessment updates every other year. So we could sync up the timing of this so that we're only considering those management measure changes when we're able to consider both the MRF data and updated stock status information, as opposed to currently where we're frequently in a position where we really only have updated harvest information, but not updated stock assessment information. One potential challenge for this approach is that we need to think a little harder about if it could be possible, given the Magnuson Act requirements for annual ACL evaluation. So would it be possible to, still evaluate our ACLs every year, but, you know, maybe not react to that information until every other year? That's a challenge that we still need to think through a little harder to see if this will actually work. This next one, I'm not going to go into too much detail on because it hasn't been discussed in great detail yet at the council and commission level, but a lot of what Recreational Reform Initiative focuses on, or what I've talked about so far, relates to in what situations is it appropriate to not change our management measures? And then this next topic is, if it's determined that measures can change or should change, could we improve the process that we use to come up with those management measures? And there's a number of topics that could fall within this, but again, I'm not going to get into too much detail on this in the interest of time. The next topic relates to the timing of our recommendations, and Kylie already touched on this. This is the same timeline that she showed, and I highlighted that that step of the process that happens in December. So that's when the council and the commission are approving the federal waters recreational management measures for the following year and agreeing to the overall level of reduction or liberalization that should be achieved by the combination of the state and federal measures. So we're agreeing to that in December, and technically the fishing year starts January 1st, but most of the fishing effort doesn't happen until the spring. But even still, there's that really creates a time crunch in terms of states needing to develop any changes to their measures that are necessary in response to that decision that happens in December. And whenever we change our federal measures, there's a lengthy process to go through the rulemaking for that. So frequently, any changes that are needed are not implemented until spring or summer of the year that the changes are needed in. So that's challenging from an administrative perspective and also frustrating for the angling community because it doesn't give them lots of time to plan. It makes it harder for them to kind of keep track of what the measures are. For example, a party charter businesses might want to plan their trips for the next year, or just, your average angler who wants to plan their vacation or something like that. If these changes are happening in the spring or summer, it can pose challenges for all of those things. So the idea here is, can we take that step that's highlighted in yellow and move it up earlier in the year? And what would the implications of that be? It would have some benefits in terms of the timing of all of this, but then of course we wouldn't be able to consider the preliminary current year data. So the council and commission want to think a little bit harder about what would be the pros and cons of potentially changing this timeline. Okay, so next I'm going to talk about a few topics that might be included in recreational form, but they were initially talked about through separate management actions that focused on the overall allocation between the commercial and recreational sectors. So these topics, they differ a little bit from the ones that I talked about previously, but they have been since removed from consideration through these other amendments. And there's been some discussion of should they be added to recreational reform or should they be done separately or are they a priority at all? Those are all conversations that are still ongoing. But just to jump right into it, this next one is recreational sector separation. And the idea behind this is, should the for-hire sector be managed separately from the other recreational fishing modes? And if so, should that be done through a separate allocation of a catch or landings limit? Or should the allocations still be lumped together, but the different sectors have different management measures? And for all of that, there's, of course, considerations related to the data. If you're breaking the MRIP data down by mode, then you're potentially getting into a situation with higher PSEs. And then we have other data sets that there's been some interest in considering, how can we use BTRs through something like this. Of course, there's limitations to that as well, as only federally permitted vessels are submitting BTRs, federally permitted party charter vessels. So it's not capturing the full fishery, but there's definitely been some high stakeholder interest in this, at least from some parts of the recreational fishery. There's also some stakeholders that are strongly against this, but this came about due to like the perception that the for-hire fishery data might be a little bit more certain or predictable than the other modes, and recreational anglers are definitely aware that with these major revisions in the MRAP data that happened recently, that that was driven by the private and short effort estimates. So some in the for-hire community felt that a lot of the challenges that we're having with MRAP data is, you know, tied in with uncertainty that they felt was coming more from these other sectors. And also, at least the federally permitted vessels are submitting VTRs, and so they want to see that data used more in the process. So this was a way to think about doing that. But again, this is still in the kind of like early evaluation stages, and it's to be determined if this will be pursued and if it's a high priority. Along the same lines, some other suggestions that we got when we were talking about should the commercial and recreational allocation be revised relates to just uncertainty in the recreational data. And we received several comments from stakeholders along the lines of, well, so also, I think everybody's aware that the MRAP data changed recently, and it shows that there's much higher recreational catch and harvest than we thought under the old method. So with this allocation amendment that we're considering through a separate action, we're considering several alternatives to increase the recreational allocation compared to the commercial allocation, largely based on those changes in the MRAP data. And there's definitely frustration, especially among some people in the commercial fishing community, saying, you know, you're going to take allocation away from us just because of this MRAP data, which we think is very uncertain, and we don't have faith in this data. So can we get better data? And there's been several suggestions for ways to get data in a, you know, that would go beyond MRAP. So things like requiring private anglers to report, using something like a tag system for harvest. So you have to have a tag associated with every fish that you harvest, requiring tournaments to report, and changing the VTR requirements such that maybe more people are required to report on VTRs, and kind of adding additional data fields to the VTR. So these are all just examples of suggestions that have come up for how to address some of the current uncertainties in the MRAP data. But again, these are things that are haven't necessarily been prioritized by the council and the commission, but have been kind of generally discussed so far. Along those same lines, there's related to those allocation discussions, there's been, you know, some discussion of if you're gonna ultimately give the recreational fishery a higher allocation, which is something that's still to be determined, but there's some alternatives under consideration for that. If you're gonna give them a higher allocation, then maybe they should have greater accountability for when they go over their allocation. And we have heard some suggestions recently to bring back some of the things that we used to have in place. Like we used to require more frequent over paybacks in the recreational fishery. And like Kylie said, we used to have the ability to do in-season closures. And like Kylie summarized, there was Amendment 19, which did away with both of those things, or changed how we deal with overage paybacks and did away with the in-season closures for the recreational fishery. And all the same reasons for why those changes were made, they're all still valid. So again, it's to be determined if the council really wants to actually pursue some of these things, but it's something that's been discussed. And then lastly is this harvest control rule approach, which I'm not going to get into great detail on because Mike Wayne's going to cover that later today. But again, this is something that was initially put forward through this commercial recreational allocation amendment, and it's there's been discussion of it at various levels, and the council and board and the commission are interested in focusing on the management measure aspect of it and not the allocation aspect of it. So this proposal just briefly would be to have these predefined management measure steps in the recreational fishery. And at each step would be a set of management measures that's used in federal waters, and then the state measures as well. States could have different measures, but you know, each step would be that group of measures. And you have your step A, the way it's illustrated here, is your most liberal set of measures. And it occurs when you have the highest level of biomass. And then as you go down the ladder, as biomass declines, your measures get more restrictive. And the idea behind this is that these measures at all these steps are predefined, so you have some level of predictability. in what your measures are going to be, and they're explicitly tied to the stock status, the size of the stock. And again, as I mentioned earlier, that's something that there's a frustration among anglers that it doesn't seem currently that our measures are correlated with stock biomass. So again, I'll let Mike describe that in more detail later today, but this is something that the council and board have talked about, and they are interested in potentially, you know, further developing this and trying to figure out if it could actually work given our current constraints. So that's all I had for the Recreational Reform Initiative. I know that was a ton of information, but in terms of next steps, like I said, the primary goal is to prioritize the list of topics for further development, because it's totally unrealistic to expect us to develop all of those things that I talked about at the same time. And again, the council board have yet to formally initiate a management action, such as a framework, an addendum, or an amendment. We're hoping that they might do that in October. And then after we get a better idea of what their priorities are, then we can further develop and analyze some of those topics. Right, so that's all Kylie and I had. Let's see if I can figure out how to stop sharing my screen. And we're happy to take any questions.